The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. Our main story this week is an interview with Helen Bowden, the recently retired director of BBC Radio. She's got some revealing things to say about the corporation in general and radio in particular. We'll also hear from Radio 4 and 5 Live's Jane Garvey, who was interviewing Helen at a Media Society event on Monday night. Little did we know then, of course, what was about to unfold in Manchester. And we were hoping to lead this week with interviews collected at the Radio Festival, but as you'll know by now, it was cancelled. Radio Today's Stu Clarkson reports.
So it was a fairly sombre mood as we arrived at the British Library to the news that this year's Radio Festival had been postponed following the tragic events in Manchester the night before. Delegates and speakers arriving were told the event would not be going ahead, and I spoke to the Radio Academy's CEO, Roger Cutsforth.
Yeah, very tough decision, obviously responding to the horrific events that happened in Manchester last night. And firstly, on behalf of the Academy and everyone involved in the industry, our heartfelt condolences to everyone involved in that.
So, logistically, what does it mean? People arriving here are being told it's not happening today.
Yeah, we've postponed it from today, and it is a postponement. So our plan is to reschedule. As and when we've spoken with our various partners to help deliver the event, we'll let people know. So they just hang on to their tickets, and we'll be out with more information shortly.
And obviously, there are people still arriving here. So the reason for cancellation was partly because of the events in Manchester, but because people are going to be back at base and needed in their radio stations.
Yeah, I mean, radio is a great medium for pulling people together at times of crisis, well, all times really, but particular things like this. So we've got a number of colleagues needing to work on the story, and as things happen there, we've got a lot of people affected. I've got family and friends based in Manchester, lots of people that couldn't come down, and the event itself is a celebration of everything radio and audio. And we were launching 30 Under 30 tonight. That was due to be a party. And to be having a party and a celebration just didn't seem appropriate given the circumstances.
And there's usually some humour and that kind of thing.
Yeah. You'll have seen Colin. Colin's been here since early this morning due to host it. And everybody has been fantastic and supportive and understanding of the decision we've made.
And it's an event that takes a few months to put together. So where do we go from here in terms of rescheduling?
I don't know, really. I think at this moment in time, we'll need to speak to the library, to our sponsors and everyone that was due to participate in it. But we'll make a decision on that, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, and be able to get a new date in people's diaries soon.
And the lineup you put together based on who can come on the date. Yeah. So it might be that changes
that
when it comes
up. That may have to change, yeah. As an example, we were due to do a session today on fake news. That wouldn't have been appropriate to do today. Whether that's appropriate to do when we reschedule, we don't know. So the lineup could change significantly depending on what people are available. But one thing we guarantee is it will be a great event.
That's Roger Cutsforth from the Radio Academy, and of course we'll bring you an update on radiotoday.co.uk and here on the Radio Today programme when we hear about plans for a rescheduled date for the festival. And I'll be back later on in the podcast with a look at the rest of this week's industry news.
Thank you, Stu, and of course our condolences to everyone affected by the Manchester bombing. And congratulations to the radio people, reporters, engineers, presenters, everyone who did such a great job on Tuesday. David Lloyd has posted a montage of how stations in Manchester itself covered the unfolding drama. Well worth a listen if you can find it. David will be here soon, of course, with some more radio moments, but let's go to the Groucho Club in London's Soho and the Helen Bowden event titled Goodbye to All That, in which Helen reminisced about her time at the BBC as Director of News and, more recently, Director of Radio until January this year. So, Helen in a minute, but first, her interviewer, Jane Garvey.
What did you think of the Twitter feed while you were on?
I don't know, I couldn't see it. I was concentrating.
Well, there were pictures of you.
Oh, were there?
Yeah.
I'll have a look.
Tweeted by me.
Oh.
What do you make of Helen's candour?
Well, she's a free woman, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah. I'm more interested, really, in what you think of her candour. I'm in a slightly difficult position here because I'm not a free woman.
Ah.
So I still work for the BBC and they still pay my everything, so I'm not going to... But I mean, it's interesting. She was my boss, of course, for quite a long time. In fact, when I was in news, working for 5 Live, and then again when I was at Radio 4 for Woman's Hour. So, but I don't know her. She's not a friend of mine. She's just someone who's loomed large in my professional life. I mean, I think she's always had incredible energy, and she really knows the business and how it works. And I'm not sure whether I really got tonight to the heart of how angry she feels about not getting further.
Well, that was
at the BBC.
What I was going to ask you. You know, I think if you were on a BBC show doing that,
which I wasn't,
and I was the editor, I'd have said,
you'd have said, Jane,
come on, Jane,
push her, push
I think
her,
you could have pushed her a bit harder
on being director general.
Well, and also of losing her job.
Yes, yeah. It didn't feel to me like it was the mood of the night,
okay,
to be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're here largely to celebrate.
Yeah.
The fantastic thing she has done, and the fantastic, particularly in radio, because I know she is a radio nut, as I am, and she's really committed to radio. So, you know, of course you're right. And how her news career ended was, I mean, I think it's fair to say that she did get criticised in the Pollard Report, though nothing like the level of criticism aimed at other individuals. And I did ask her why the BBC didn't get more news stories. And, of course, the Newsnight report on Savile was the news story that got away.
Do you think that Helen, any more than Jenny Abramski, managed to really get more women on the radio? Because we thought they would, and yet we're looking at a world now where...
Well, I asked about Radio 2 tonight.
You did.
And Helen just didn't seem to think it mattered. And of
you
course,
think it matters, don't
well,
you?
Well, I do
you
think
you tweet about this a lot.
Well, no,
there's
not,
not enough women on the radio.
I have tweeted about the fact that... look, I've got two teenage daughters. I work in an office now at Woman's Hour, which is mercifully, actually, we have a lot of young, energetic female producers working on the programme, and they're not all white. And now this is really important, because it's having a real impact on our content, on the way we see the world, and it's really changing what I think too, and not before time, actually, when I really contemplate it. And so I listen to Radio 2, and I do like it, but then I would. Wouldn't I? I'm a 53-year-old white woman.
Surely not.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I'm just not certain that it should be like that in the 21st century. To me, Radio 2 doesn't look or sound much like the Britain I know.
Well, I went to a session at Radio Days Europe a few years ago where a woman from Canadian Broadcasting stood up and said, when I took over CBC Toronto, I said, come to the window, everybody. And a lot of old men with cardigans lined up,
yeah.
And she said, look at those guys out there, they don't look like you. Now I wonder whether actually that's one of the things that you, but to a greater extent Helen, wrestle with, which is how do you make Radio 4, how do you make talk radio on the BBC relevant to those people out there?
Well, I don't know how we do. So there's my drink. Not
oh, mind you, you did some work.
Yes, I have done a bit of work. What was your question?
I can't remember.
No
how do you make the BBC in particular, but talk radio in general, more representative of people who aren't like you and me?
By engaging with those people and by employing them. I mean, that's the by employing them is actually far, far more important. And I think Helen's point was you tamper with radio at your peril, and how do you alter Radio 2 when it's as successful as it is? I would say that's exactly the place you can take a risk, so-called, by replacing somebody who's wildly successful, offering a product. I mean, let's face it, the music on Radio 2 is inoffensive, middle of the road, and I enjoy it. They're going to get an audience. I'm not sure the presenters are as significant as some people would have you believe. But that's my point of view. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, it's unlikely.
One more thing before I let you go. Your podcast. Do you think you should
The Woman's Hour podcast.
No.
Very successful.
What's it called? Seriously.
Fortunately. Fee and I.
Fortunately.
You know me, you know Fee. We both love radio.
But don't talk about stuff that's not on Radio 4,
hang on,
Jane.
For a start, this week, I'm certainly not talking about something that's on Radio 4. And secondly, we are working on it. And we would...
Excellent.
This is all little steps. Little steps, Trevor.
Baby steps, yeah.
And we are... Radio 4 are very pleased with Fortunately, because I don't think it's
I
ever...
I bet they are.
It's never crossed their minds that maybe two women could just talk to each other and, it might even be occasionally mildly amusing. But that's the kind of thing. Fee and I are not. We're not comedians. We're two middle-aged women with plenty of axes to grind. And boy, do we grind them, I should say. And we want to move away from talking about Radio 4 and indeed from the BBC. And trust me, we will. But it's the Fortunately podcast. Get it.
Jane Garvey, thank you.
Thank you.
Helena, just talk to Jane. She said that she didn't think she pushed you enough. How did you feel as the interviewee?
It wasn't the kind of interview where you get pushed. This is a sort of celebratory thing. And there's obviously a different kind of interview to be done, which is looking at my record, looking at the BBC's record. That's a different interview for a media society rounding off your career at retirement, I think. If I'd flounced out, you know, yes. It would have been different.
Well, let me not even attempt to do that. But given that we're talking about radio today, how do you feel about not being in charge of BBC Radio?
Oh, I miss it on one level.
I'll bet you do.
Because I love radio, and I do... I slightly worry for BBC Radio, not because I think Bob will do anything other than protect it, but because I think the BBC has always had a slight tendency to take it for granted, ever since television came along. I probably learned this from Jenny Abramsky, who was my big boss in radio, but it's my deep fear that they will underestimate the passion and commitment of listeners to all the radio we do and do something daft as a consequence.
When I last interviewed you at Radio Days Europe 2016, I said, do you think you'll be here next year? And you said, I hope so. The impression we got then is that you thought that radio was going to get subsumed by other bits of the BBC and would lose its identity. Was there any truth in that?
Oh, there was definitely some truth. And I did a very... I fought that quite hard.
I'll bet you did.
I fought that very hard. I thought there was a plan to break up radio and there was a plan to subsume it into a different shaped BBC. And I said, if you break radio up, you will effectively destroy it because the budgets are so tiny. And to be fair to Tony, he did take that on board. It wasn't just me saying it. I suspect Tim Davies said something similar. So it wasn't me alone. But I certainly put that argument very strongly. And I know that external people like Jenny Abramsky, when they had the choice and were asked, made that very clear. So Tony absolutely knew that radio would only survive if it was kept together. And although I'm sad not to be running radio, I'm not sad that it's with Bob, and I have absolute confidence in the controllers to kind of keep its strength and resilience.
I suppose the difficulty is, if you buy the whole multi-platform thing, which we all have to, and you say, well, sort of thing that I have to say to students, which is, well, you call it telly, you call it radio, you call it online, you call it magazines, actually it's all journalism, it's all the same thing. It's kind of hard to fight the argument that says, wait a minute, television and radio are different within the BBC.
Well, you see, I think you're starting at the wrong end. I think you start with how audiences consume it. And audiences do not consume conventional radio or even audio in the same way that they consume conventional telly or downloaded telly. And that's where you start. I've never been a kind of retrograde person who's resisted change. I totally get the idea of convergence. And indeed, in my career as Radio 4, at News, as director of radio and doing my BBC, the big BBC's personalisation project, you know, I understand a lot about digital and you can't argue against it. It's not a question of being for or against, it's being sensible. But you have to start with what audiences are doing. And young audiences may not remotely connect to radio, but they certainly connect to our programmes and our output. And older audiences connect intimately to radio. So if you start buggering that about, you start messing with the audience, which is a very bad idea.
So Helen, what matters most to a younger audience? Is it the brand, which is the programme, so it's Woman's Hour or Today or Grimmy or whatever it is, or is it the channel? Is it Radio 4, is it 5 Live, 6 Music?
I think for younger audiences under 34, it's almost certainly the presenter. I think the way they experience all media is very individuated, if there's such a word. But within
well, there
that...
there is now.
If within that, I think there's... I think there's actually quite a surprising respect and residual affection for the idea of the BBC. I was looking at some information recently about how young people look to different broadcasters, newspapers and social media for information on the election, and the BBC still holds its own very strongly. So young people may consume differently, but they still want something trustworthy and reliable, and I think a lot of them still see the BBC as that place.
as you said, there are other times to do long interviews with you, but what are you going to do next?
Well, I'm going to do a variety of things. I need a bit of a spine, but not personally, I have one, but I need a bit of a spine of a day. But I've got arts things, I've got radio things, and I've got
resonance
journalism.
Resonance radio? What is all that?
Resonance radio came to me. Resonance radio is a kind
coolest thing, aren't they?
A funky arts London-only radio station who came to me and said, have you listened to us? And actually, I had. And would you be on our advisory board? And I said, I'd love to be. So for me, it's a very different radio, but it's sort of connected with other things I'm interested in.
And what about independent production?
Well, I won't set up my own company, but I'm open to offers. You know, I've always... I love radio. You know that, Trevor. It's in my blood. I have no intention of losing a connection, whatever connection that is.
Helen, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Helen Bowden speaking in the bar of the Groucho Club. Our thanks to the Media Society for inviting us to the event. Now Stu's back with the rest of this week's news.
Thank you, Trevor. This week the BBC has apologised after a clearly unacceptable feature was broadcast on the Radio Leeds Sunday breakfast show. Listeners were invited to work out a mystery person who'd been in the news from some musical clues. The answer was the Moors murderer Ian Brady. Radio Caroline is going legal on Medium Wave. The station's been given a community radio licence to cover Suffolk and Essex. Caroline's currently online and on some DAB multiplexes. This is going to be the first time, though, that the station's had an AM licence, and it comes ahead of the 50th anniversary of the Marine Offences Act this summer, which brought most of the pirate stations to an end. Caroline says it hopes to get on air in time for the 14th of August, if it can. Ofcom hasn't said yet whether they're giving the station the 1 kilowatt transmitter it asked for or which frequency it's going to be allocated. Gary Davis is coming back to BBC Radio more than 20 years after leaving Radio 1. He's going to be covering for Sarah Cox on Radio 2's Sounds of the 80s on the 9th of June. He was at Radio 1 from 1982 till 93. Manchester's small-scale DAB multiplex has announced more stations joining its lineup, bringing the total to 28 services on the Minimux. Operator Niocast says it's now the only multiplex in the world to carry so many stations. Nearly all of them are now broadcasting in DAB+. The latest radar figures show Capital back on top on Reach in London as the biggest commercial station. Its audience is up nearly 30% in quarter one 2017 compared with the last quarter of 2016. In London, it's now Capital, Kiss, Magic, Heart, then LBC on Reach. LBC, though, is the number one commercial station in London on share. A good book as well for Six Music and for Radio 4. Most of the other BBC networks, though, lost audience over the last quarter, and there's much more detailed analysis on the Radio Today website as usual. The Oxford community station, Destiny 105, says it's planning a rebrand to become the Fox at the end of the month. The station was previously called Ox 105. There's been no word from Global, though. Global owns the trademark for Fox FM, which is the former name of its heart station in Oxford. The Community Radio Awards are coming back. Entries have now opened for this year's closing date of the 30th of June. The prize is going to be handed out in September on the evening of the CMA conference. And the nominations have been announced for the New York Radio Festival's awards. There are 62 shortlisted entries from the UK. You can see the full list at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd after this.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
Lieutenant Commander Thomas Woodruff was a very happy chap, not least this week, 80 years ago.
The illumination of the fleet. Once again, we're taking you on board HMS Nelson for a description of the scene at Spithead tonight by Lieutenant Commander Thomas Woodruff.
At the present moment, the whole fleet is lit up. When I say lit up, I mean lit up by fairy lamps. We've forgotten the whole Royal Review. We've forgotten the Royal Review. The whole thing is lit up by fairy lamps. It's fantastic. It isn't a fleet at all. It's just... it's fairyland. The whole fleet is in fairyland. Now, if you'll follow me through, if you don't mind, the next few moments, you'll find the fleet doing odd things. Now, at the present moment, the New York opposite me is lit out. And when I say a fleet is lit up in lamps, I mean she's outlined. The whole ship's outlined.
The earliest radio fail of all. Thank you, Tom. He'd had a sparkling career in the Royal Navy and became a commentator with the BBC, did the 1936 Summer Olympics commentary, and then in 1937 he was on the rotor to cover the Spithead Review because it featured his old battleship, actually. So his job was to describe the scene as King George VI inspected the Navy, but just prior to doing that, he bumped into a few old colleagues and said, let's have a drink. And they did. BBC HR Direct were fairly sympathetic about his performance, but he was suspended for a week. And I have the official press coverage here, actually. What does it say here? There is one point on which the BBC feels that it owes an explanation and an apology to listeners. A full report of the circumstances in which a broadcast by a member of its staff was cut short. Action has been taken. There we go. Now, 1980, and this week that year, a launch. Hello.
Hello. Is there anybody out there? Yes, I'm sitting in the presentation chair this morning, so I might as well do the programme. Good morning, listeners, shareholders and Wharsgrave school kids. At last, it's Friday, the 23rd of May. One or two of us around here thought, why not set up a little old radio station, call it Mercia Sound, and pop it on your radio...
But we'd originally wanted to call the radio station WKCV. We didn't want to call it Mercia. We wanted to call it WKCV, standing for Warwickshire, WK and CV, Coventry. The Independent Broadcasting Authority had the last word on what you call the radio station. And they said, you're not calling it WKCV. And I said, why not? And they said, because it sounds too American. You've got to give it a proper name. So I said, what's wrong with WKCV? You're not calling it WKCV. So we called it Mercia in the end because the buffet at Coventry Railway Station was called the Mercia Buffet.
The late Ian Rufus reflecting on the regulatory challenges as Mercia Sound launched in Coventry 37 years ago. It's now part of the Free Radio Network. This week, 2 years ago, a Radio 1 farewell.
What the devil are you going
to
be doing?
In my head, like, I like to think, oh, I'll be having breakfast in bed. I won't be. I'll be running around with my two-year-old, who'll be having his usual morning tantrum, most likely. And I'll be listening to Clara and, of course, supporting her, and I wish her all the best in the future.
What's next, Fern?
At the moment, I don't actually know, apart from having a baby. And it's the first time since I started work when I was 15. I actually don't know, so it's time to jump into the void. That had to be my last song, Lana Del Rey, Video Games. Thank you for the most beautiful send-off. I've had the best day, the most gorgeous time here at Radio 1. I'll walk away with so many beautiful memories, so thank you.
Fern Cotton leaving Radio 1 this week in 2015 after almost 10 years. Here's a favourite of mine. This week in 1975, the first winner of a big prize contest on commercial radio, or independent local radio, as we were told to call it back then. And back in those early days, prize values, and indeed everything else, were regulated. So this week, the Metro Radio jackpot rose to £88, and we had a winner. And here's an earlier edition of that very contest.
Our cash accumulator competition, in which we pick a number at random from the Metropolitan Area Telephone Directory and give someone the chance to win a cash prize of up to £100.
Don't say hello, say... Don't say hello, say...
Metro.
Well done, who am I speaking to?
Mr. Farmer, 25 Freighter Terrace, Stone.
Hi, welcome along to Metro Radio. You now have possibly the chance to win yourself £49 if you can get two questions right. The first question is for a record or record token. And the question is the following. A new housing development in an area of Newcastle has been nicknamed the Great Wall. Which area is that?
Hudson Baker.
Well done. Yes, well, that was simple, wasn't it? You won yourself a record or record token, which will be sent to you. And now, for £49, what is today's mystery word? You'll have to guess it. Today's mystery word.
Today's mystery word.
I don't think you're going to get it, are you?
I can't, no.
No, thanks very much for playing anyway, and we'll send the record to you.
I'd forgot all about record tokens. The Radio 1 Breakfast Show is a plum gig, and this week, 29 years ago, it got its sixth presenter. Let's count them all down.
In the beginning, there was Tony Blackburn.
Nothing like giving yourself a round of applause before you start, isn't it?
And then came Noel Edmonds.
Hello, good morning.
Followed by DLT.
Minute over, that'll be £1.40. No, let it go a bit more.
Bully on down.
And then there came Mike Reed.
And you know how you get those urges?
Followed by the man they named Mike Smith.
Question is, which unusual vegetable?
And now...
It's me, Simon Mayo. Good morning. Blimey, what do I say now? I'd worked out what I was going to say to start with, but I resort to the script. 7:04, good morning, that's Aztec Camera, Somewhere in My Heart. Everyone's saying, what does it feel like to start a brand new breakfast show? Feels more than anything like the first day of term at a new school.
Nice line. Simon Mayo's breakfast debut on Radio 1 this week in 1988. It's 5 years now since Petroc Trelawney from BBC Radio 3 was arrested in Zimbabwe on the grounds of supposedly being in the country illegally.
Yeah, I was taken to Central Police Station, which was about 5 blocks from the immigration office. I was told there I had to decide which 2 items of clothing I'd like to wear. Shoes and socks were banned, so I just wore my suit trousers and the shirt I'd been wearing to do the show, which wasn't particularly warm, gets quite cold. And then into this cell, the door opened, I looked inside and saw... Well, I think there were about 16 people in there when I got in there, and at the height there were 21 of us in there in a cell about 14 foot by 9, so it was quite a squeeze.
The Tale of Trelawney this week in 2012. So with the launch of Laser 558 33 years ago...
We promise to bring you at least 54 minutes of international hit songs each hour we broadcast.
Mark Thompson appointed Director General of the BBC 13 years ago...
We are still absolutely losing key staff to commercial broadcasters who are still paying top dollar.
And Silk FM launching in Macclesfield 19 years ago...
This is a test transmission in preparation for Silk FM... The new radio service for the Cheshire area.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
All hits, all the time. Radio
Moments. Thank you, David. That's it for this week. It's been a TDC production as ever. There'll be more next week. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.